This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And I was just looking at the reason I stopped in saying that is looking at a new human right that is being proclaimed by the Biden administration. Really? Playing sports is a human right? Being on high school and college sports teams, that is a fundamental human right? Well, it is, says the Biden administration, if you are transgendered. This is one of those issues where, honestly, if you look at the polling, it will not stick. We're also going to be speaking tomorrow a little bit to Scott Rasmussen about polling that shows that Republicans, Democrats, Independents believe that our electoral system, our system of electing a president of the United States, needs fixing. And it's not working well, and as a matter of fact, you have a very substantial number of people who think that both of the last two presidents did not actually win their races. That's right, that Trump didn't really win in 2016 and that Biden didn't really win in 2020. So what do we do about it? We will be confronting that. I also want to confront something about a pattern that was called to my attention by Jeremy Steiner, pride of Hillsdale College, who noted that in a local school board meetings around the state of Washington, they begin by acknowledging, we acknowledge that this land is the traditional homeland of, and then you list a number of the native tribes that lived in those places at one time or another, or at least allegedly lived in those places. The truth of the matter is, the native population of what later became the United States was not large. There were lots and lots of places that were empty land. The claim, and there have been people who have no historical base at all who have claimed that as many as 30 million people lived in the United States. This is not true. Our population as a country got up to 30 million right before the Civil War. But at the time that people landed here, the population could have been very low, below a million for all of North America, or the most common figures are 2 or 3 million. Okay. There's a piece today in The Federalist just released, and it's by a guy named Casey Chalk, and it has a great headline, and it is a great piece, and it's really, really important that people hear this. He starts out by talking about February 23rd when Congresswoman Deb Haaland of New Mexico, who was just chosen as one of our worst states, by the way, by U.S. News and World Report, where the nominee for Secretary of the Interior, where everybody is thrilled that she is going to be the first person with tribal ancestry to serve in a federal cabinet. She began her testimony before the Senate. This is in the Senate hearing. Oh, great. Well, let's play the audio because I can't fully do it justice. This is what it sounded like.
So if you would rise and raise your right hand, Congresswoman. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give to the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
You may be seated. I'm going to ask you three questions addressed to each nominee before this committee. So will you be available to appear before the committee and other congressional committees to represent department positions and respond to issues of concern to the Congress?
Yes, Chairman.
Are you aware of any personal holdings, investments, or interests that could constitute a conflict of interest or create the appearance of such a conflict should you be confirmed and assume the office to which you have been nominated by the President?
No, Chairman.
Are you involved, okay, or do you have any assets held in a blind trust?
That's Senator Joe Manchin.
Thank you. We're going to start with our questions now, and I'll take the liberty of asking a few questions, and we'll... Oh, I'm so sorry. You go ahead and make your opening statement, then we'll move to the questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Chairman's just getting used to this job.
Guatsi Hopa Duhiname Itzakiwitsa Shuimi Hanu. Chairman Manchin, Ranking Member Barrasso, members of the committee, thank you so much for having me here today. I wouldn't be here without the love and support of my child, Soma, my partner, Skip, who is with me this morning, sitting behind me, my mom, Mary Toya, who's watching from Isleta Pueblo, my extended family, and generations of ancestors who have sacrificed so much so I could be here today. I acknowledge that we are on the ancestral homelands of the Nacotchtank, Anacostan, and Piscataway people. As many of you know, my story is unique. Although today I serve as a member of Congress and was the vice chair of the House Natural Resources Committee, if confirmed, I would be the first Native American to serve as cabinet secretary.
Okay, what was striking here and what this column, this article really is based on, is her beginning by saying that I acknowledge that we are in the ancestral homelands of the Nacotchtank, the Anacostan, and the Piscataway people. Now, I do not believe that there are any more Nacotchtank or Anacostan. There may be some Piscataway who identify. But the land she's talking about is Washington, D.C. And she's talking about the Capitol building. And it's not like the Capitol building replaced a beautiful structure or a sacred shrine or anything that belonged to the Nacotchtank, Anacostan, and Piscataway people. A Vox article gushed, writes Casey Chalk in his piece in The Federalist, it's likely the first time a cabinet nominee acknowledged tribal lands upon testifying before the Senate. An indigenous activist in the Washington Post called it a rebuke of the countless politicians and bureaucrats who dedicated themselves to the cause of indigenous annihilation. Yet, like many recent political exercises in racial history, land acknowledgments have less to do with a coherent rendering of history than with grievance politics and tokenism. Boy, is he ever right. And right now, this is happening at a school near you, where at a school board meeting in Edmonds, Washington, they replaced the Pledge of Allegiance with a similar declaration with different Indian tribes, Salish Indian tribes, mentioned. Land acknowledgments are quite popular among the left, writes Casey Chalk, especially in Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. Many universities frequently make such acknowledgments before various public events, declaring their appreciation that the land upon which their institution resides happens to be the traditional ancestral lands of some group or groups displaced or even eradicated by Western settlers, entrepreneurs, or governments. In the incoherent, exclusionary nature of that effort, the problem with this growing phenomenon becomes evident. And then he writes, take the three tribes Holland cited during her Senate hearing. The first two, Nacotchtank and Anacostan, are the names for the same small group that fell within the much larger Algonquian people, whose culture and language spread throughout the eastern seaboard and as far west as the Rockies. The third, the Piscataway, was also Algonquian. These tribes are often at war with each other, or neighboring tribes. As pointed out by Harvard University psychologist Steven Pinker, one of the principals of FAIR, which we've been talking about. So what does Steven Pinker point out? What is it essential that people know before we carry forward with this new pledge of allegiance to vanished ancestors of today's Native Americans? We will get to that issue and to more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Michael Medved.
You are such a riot.
questions. Are religion and science constantly inevitably at war? Can science provide evidence for God? New York Times best-selling author Stephen Meyer, he's a philosopher of science. He has written The Return of the God Hypothesis, three scientific discoveries that revealed the mind behind the universe. There's a special offer for MedVed listeners, free excerpt from the book, free digital booklet on intelligent design, a discount on Dr. Meyer's online course, an invitation to an exclusive online meeting with Dr. Stephen Meyer. And amazingly, this new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, has just been endorsed by a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Dr. Brian Josephson, and many other prominent scientists. You can read about it, find out all about it, when you go to discovery.org/MedVed for a special offer you don't want to miss. discovery.org/MedVed. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds. Social media and trading platforms then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved Show.
Michael, you are the best.
Let me put this issue in context just for a moment. The whole idea, and by the way, if somebody out there likes the idea of acknowledging that I acknowledge that we are in the ancestral homelands of the Nacotchtank, the Anacostan, and the Piscataway people. Or if you want to say we are in the ancestral homelands of the Duwamish and the Snoqualmish and the late local Salish tribes, if you think that's useful and that's worthwhile and that's important to do, Tell me why. I do not understand it, except in the context of trying to make Americans feel guilty about our country, as if we don't believe here, like we don't belong here. We have no claim to it. We're occupying somebody else's land. And that's an appalling thing, particularly when you talk about where the Capitol building is, which is, okay, it's what used to be part of Maryland, part of Washington, D.C. was part of Maryland, part of it was Virginia. British people, people descended from English people and English settlers, and mostly English settlers, and some Irish. In that part of the world, there were actually some Swedes. In Delaware, there was a Swedish colony. But there are people who have been there for 300 years. No, it's more. It's 400 years. And at some point or another, when you have invested blood, sacrifice, effort, and by the way, you're occupying land that was empty. There is at zero evidence that there were ancient Indian villages in Washington, D.C. Sorry. It didn't exist. But what did exist was not peaceful and paradise and the new Garden of Eden. Okay. Here's what Steven Pinker says, the author of Better Angels of Our Nature, who's talked about the fact that one of the great progresses that we have achieved, not just in the United States, but in civilization in general, is that we are less violent than we were before. And the Indian tribes that inhabited North America were profoundly violent, sadistic, often cannibalistic. He writes, quantitative body counts, such as the proportion of prehistoric skeletons with axe marks and embedded arrowheads, or the proportion of men in a contemporary foraging tribe who die at the hands of other men, suggests that pre-state societies were far more violent than our own. Well, of course they were. Anthropologist Lawrence Keeley observes, the dogs of war were seldom on a leash in the pre-Columbian New World. Even Deborah Holland's own Pueblo tribe fought the Comanche and the Navajo, honoring any American Indian tribe as the original inhabitants of some geographic area is both disingenuous and ahistorical, given any such people who had almost certainly displaced another. And people know something about the history of England. We're talking about the British royal family. The British royal family, they're basically this branch of the royal family, the one that currently occupies the throne, comes from Germany, but their ancestors came from France. Yeah, from Normandy. The Norman Conquest, you've heard of it, 1066, and William the Conqueror. So do they begin their solemn ceremonies for the royal family? And I'm not talking now about about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. But for anything with involving the royal family, anything you saw in Britain, we acknowledged that we are currently on the ancestral homeland of the Anglo-Saxon savages who invaded the previous ancestral homeland of the Celtic savages who occupied this land before the Normans even got here. And no, of course not. History moves on. And the idea that the Indian tribes, which are largely nomadic people, there were no cities. The only place where they had cities were in what they call the Hopewell civilizations, which was about 500 years before Columbus. And it was around where St. Louis is today. And they have found a lot of mounds. They built mounds. They apparently built some buildings. And then the civilization collapsed, or it was slaughtered by another Indian civilization. Such land acknowledgments are built upon a broader polemical historical narrative in which violent imperialist Europeans arrived on American shores and brutally exterminated or displaced peaceful American Indian tribes that maintained a symbiotic relationship with nature. This, too, has no relationship to historical reality, writes Casey Chalk. Human sacrifice, cannibalism, torture, and slavery were ubiquitous. They were everywhere across the native peoples, from the Aztecs, who sacrificed hundreds of thousands of captured peoples, to even the Algonquins and Iroquois. Indeed, we know of the cultural traits in part because they were practiced against early European explorers and missionaries. And some of those early European explorers and missionaries who built the cathedral, what today is the cathedral in Mexico City, near this huge square, it's a huge plaza that was built there, that was built on the site of the Templo Mayor, the big Aztec temple. And one of the things that they found there was literally a pile of skulls, tens of thousands of them, of human sacrifice victims. A scholar, Ake Hultkrantz, notes there are many proofs of the devastation of nature by Indians. In his article, Northern Iroquoian Cultural Patterns, William N. Fenton, in turn, explains the Iroquois often contributed to the decline of species, breaking entire tops of trees to harvest cherries and overhunting deer and beaver, all before Europeans' arrival. Indeed, because of how they exhausted natural resources, Iroquois bands had to move their villages twice per generation. And what he writes here is so important. In what is now modern Mexico, the Mayan civilization exhausted itself by exploiting the environment. They rose, flourished, declined, and disappeared, just like human habitants in other parts of the world. They changed large features of the natural landscape. Yeah, the Mayan culture collapsed also hundreds of years before the Europeans arrived. The problem isn't just historical inaccuracy, writes Casey Chalk, but a simplistic, ideologically driven victim narrative that presents an incomplete, genuinely incoherent conception of American Indians. It presumes that American Indians are only and exclusively victims, never victimizers, conquered, never conquerors, brutalized, and never brutalizers. So what's wrong with that? We'll get to that. It has a real meaning for our country. We'll be right back.
Michael Medved.
You is the grooviest.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki is pushing back on the notion that there's a crisis at the southern border, as many Republicans allege.
I don't think we need to sit here and put new labels on what we have already conveyed is challenging.
Psaki, speaking at the White House on Tuesday, also not would confirm the number of unaccompanied migrant children who have been detained in recent weeks.
There is an increase that there are more children coming across the border than we have facilities for at this point in time. Those numbers are tracked by the Department of Homeland Security.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says a vote on President Biden's nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill will take place Wednesday morning. California Democrats, saying this is the most remarkable piece of legislation since the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In my opinion, he's the most powerful man in the world.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Okay, breaking news. Tamar Robotics is developing a neurosurgical system that offers high-accuracy, minimally invasive robotic brain surgery. The robotic system performs autonomous surgical tasks under the surgeon's full control. It's a system that will significantly improve accuracy, enabling the maximal removal of tumors and clots while greatly reducing injury to surrounding tissue. It's a great thing. And it's a great company. And it's one of those R-Crowd companies I've been telling you about. You can read all about it. It's pretty amazing. They also have another new company that defends your computer at home from hacking, from interference, from all kinds of foreign threats. And it's a brand new technology that could be game-changing profoundly. Read about it. Go to michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner for our crowd. They'll send you their latest newsletter, which is full of a dozen companies like these. And take advantage of the possibility that you might want to invest in one of these startups that is producing amazing technological change all around the world. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Our Crowd, which is a great opportunity for crowd funding, sourcing of investments in groundbreaking startups. Our Crowd at michaelmedved.com. Okay, talking for just a moment more about this important piece and this important issue. Right now we have school systems. We have a school board, for God's sake, a school board in Edmonds, Washington, where they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance. What they do is an acknowledgement that we are on the ancestral land of so-and-so-and-so-and-so. This is outrageous. And what Jeremy Chalk recognizes Casey Chalk, in his fine piece in The Federalist, And it concludes here. He says, undoubtedly, European advancements into American Indian lands were often violent, rapacious, and unjust. This must be mourned and criticized. We must treat American Indians with respect, seeking to rectify historical injustices. Yet the land acknowledgement movement and its broader accompanying ideological agenda doesn't truly represent a sincere righting of past wrongs, but a rigid, tokenistic portrayal of history aimed at more at serving unhistorical, racist, ideological objectives than promoting a cohesive national identity. Yes, the Washington metropolitan area was once held as the land of the Nacotchtank, the Anacostan, and the Piscataway people. Before them, there were others, displaced, if not murdered, by those same tribes that Secretary of the Interior Holland now exclusively honors. Such is the sorry story of history. What matters far more than adjudicating who are the true native peoples of this or that geographic area is to recognize that it is collectively ours as American citizens, regardless of skin color, regardless of ethnic heritage. That is a narrative our founding fathers fought to fashion, and it's one worth keeping. It's so incredibly important. And it's one of those things where the whole project of trying to make Americans feel guilty for imperfections and cruelties and terrible things that have happened serves no purpose. It's one of those reasons, by the way, and I've just come to this conclusion. I think Condoleezza Rice, who I greatly admire, I think she's wonderful. She would have, maybe still will, make a great president someday. But Condoleezza Rice, I think, popularized use of the term that slavery was our original sin. And I just realized why that doesn't sit right with me. Sorry, Dr. Rice. But it doesn't sit right with me because to say slavery was America's original sin makes it sound like we invented it. That we were uniquely guilty for the crime of slavery. For goodness sake, at no point in American history was the slave population of this country ever more than 10%. Yes, that's a lot. Yes, it's unforgivable. Yes, it's terrible. But there are countries in the world that have a slave majority. It's certainly countries in the Caribbean and Brazil. The percentage of slaves, the dependence on slavery to build this country, it wasn't our original sin. It was our inherited sin. We inherited it from every other country in the world, many of which were much more prolific in their exploitation of slavery. And just one more number, which is very, very important, and it's a number that historians agree on now. Of the 12 million human beings who were kidnapped in Africa and then sold to white slave traders and brought across the ocean to the New World, what percentage ever were even aimed at, aside from the people who died on the way in the Middle Passage, less than 5% were even intended to go into what is today America. And does that mean that we're okay? No, we should teach about slavery and we should recognize the monstrous evil it involved. But to talk about it as if that is the founding principle of America, to take the path of the 1619 Project, and to try to say that all of America and our whole country and all these incredible buildings and inheritances and achievements of this great civilization, that was all based on slavery of black people and genocide against native peoples, it's nonsense. And then there's this. There's the attempt to truly identify some of the goals for transformation of the United States with new human rights. Jennifer Klein, who is executive director of the White House Gender Policy Council, was at the White House press briefing yesterday. And here is an exchange she had with a reporter about gender. It's a clip two.
The president and the vice president campaigned during the election on giving a third gender option on federal government IDs to individuals who want them. Does the president see value in signing executive orders to make that happen?
I haven't looked yet to see whether that requires an executive order. I mean, I would note that we are very inclusive in our definition of gender, and we intend to address all sorts of discrimination and, you know, fight for equal rights for people, whether that's LGBTQ plus people, women, girls, men. So, you know, that's certainly something that we will look at, but I honestly don't know whether that requires an executive order.
The American Civil Liberties Union is pushing for an executive order for this action. I was wondering if anything like that was under consideration at this time.
Sounds like we'll have to just look into it a little bit more and see what's required, but it's a good question.
Okay, who even knew that there was a White House Gender Policy Council? I'm not sure. I kind of don't think that was an investment of taxpayer money during the Trump administration. Just thinking, maybe not. We need an executive director of the White House Gender Policy Council. Gender's been around a long time. It's an American reality. When we come back, a Clinton has something to say about the future of the GOP. We'll get to that and more on the MedVed Show.
More of Michael MedVed.
Wait!
In a moment.
Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
The pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again. And I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund manager. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kinger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product fact I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get away from me.
And when we speak to Scott Rasmussen tomorrow, I think it's fascinating that he did a recent poll where 26% of Americans, not 26% of Democrats, of everybody, think that the lady you just heard, Hillary Clinton, actually won the presidency in 2016. She didn't, any more than Donald Trump won the presidency in 2020. All right, you want to say Hillary won the popular vote? She did, but that's not how we elect presidents. Hillary Clinton had this to say about her speculation on the future of the Republican Party. This is clip three.
Right now, Jonathan, it is really troubling to see the Republican Party turn themselves into a cult and, you know, basically pledge allegiance not to the United States of America, but to Donald Trump. Something I do not understand, I cannot accept, and I don't think the majority of Americans, as we have seen with the very large popular victory of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the passage of the American Rescue Plan, which is so popular. I don't understand why the Republican Party is so afraid of itself, because that's what it comes down to.
I think that's unfair and it's wrong, especially if you take a look at some of the recent developments. Do I think that there are elements in the Republican Party that are cultish in their devotion to Donald Trump? Probably. But is that true of the Republican Party as a whole? Just consider the current struggle that is going on with Trump threatening to sue the Republican National Committee for using his picture on ads. And he says it very directly in his complaint. He says, we don't want them using my likeness or my image or any part of my personality or my appeal to raise money for the Republican Party. We want to raise money for my PAC. And in terms of turning the Republican Party into a cult, the Republican Party is not so much a cult that you have 17 members of Congress, 10 in the House and 7 in the Senate, who voted after the disaster of January 6th to remove President Trump from office. He was actually already gone from office. It was to find him guilty of incitement to insurrection. And yes, I've written about this a great deal. I think calling it an insurrection is wrong. I think the entire designation of insurrection, the entire trying to hype up the continued threat of Washington, D.C. being mobbed by right-wing militias, I think all of that is exaggerated and it's foolish. And what Clinton is saying here is part of it. Those Republicans who defied Trump and did so on a whole range of issues and are much more likely to do so now with President Trump no longer in power, a lot of them are going to be facing primary challenges. And President Trump wants to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars to try to knock those people out. What's the purpose of that? The purpose should be to support Republicans who are running for re-election unless they have done something incredibly wrong. And frankly, when the impeachment vote wasn't even close in the U.S. Senate, and wasn't, they would have needed 10 more Republican votes. They didn't come close to voting a guilty plea on Trump. However, I will tell you, in the whole history of the Democratic Party, with two Democrats having withstood an impeachment trial, do you know how many Democrats ever voted to impeach one of their own? Zero. No one for Andrew Johnson, no Democrat, and none for Bill Clinton. Do you remember Bill Clinton, Hillary? Do you? I'm sure she does. There's also a question here, and this came up, again, one of the most dangerous elements of liberalism, it seems to me, is the constant expansion of inventing new human rights. Jesse Jackson Jr., if you remember him, who was a congressman, he went to jail. But Jesse Jackson Jr. had proposed a series of constitutional amendments that would have established that every American had a right to a job, had a right to medical care, had a right to a house. I did not say that a right to a car, but I'm sure he's considered that one. In any event, here is a brand new human right that Jen Psaki, the president's press spokesman, was talking about today. It's clip four.
Before approving the ARP on Saturday, defeated an amendment that would have defunded schools and universities under Title II if they allow transgender kids in athletics. However, that amendment got support from senators on both sides of the aisle, including Susan Collins and Joe Manchin. As head of the Democratic Party, did the president express any regret that that measure got bipartisan support?
Well, first, let me say the president's position on the rights of transgender kids to play sports is clear. He signed an executive order, and he believes transgender rights are human rights and wants to see kids have the opportunity to play sports and participate in a range of activities. I would say we expected, as there often is with voteramas, there to be a range of amendments that he would oppose, and this certainly would have been one of them.
Okay, yeah, transgender rights are human rights, all right, in a general sense. Is there a human right to play on a sports team to a gender that is different from the one to which you biologically fit? Is that a human right? Do people generally have a right? Does everyone have a human right to play on a sports team? In terms of playing sports, enjoying yourself, enjoying a game, I think if it was informal, voluntary, and people invited you, sure, go ahead. You could even have co-educational volleyball, baseball, football, not so much, but most sports, basketball if you want. But the idea that there is a human right to transcend your gender in that specific area. There is a new film from Disney. It's available on Disney Plus. It's a spectacular looking film, and it imagines a distant mythical past in which women are all warrior princesses. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Long ago in a mythical Southeast Asian kingdom, human beings lived happily and peacefully under the protection of magical, colorful flying dragons. But then these noble creatures sacrificed themselves to save humanity, and for hundreds of years the humans lived with distrust and division until Disney-style redemption in Raya and the Last Dragon, now streaming on Disney+.
Our land has been at war for as long as we can remember.
I believe our people can come together again. But someone has to take the first step.
In almost every way, this is a dazzling film to watch. With more than a dozen richly rendered characters, spectacular settings, and breathtaking scenes of martial arts combat and world-changing magic. It's more reminiscent of Lord of the Rings than a typical Disney princess movie, but it should delight viewers of all ages. 3.5 stars for Raya and the Last Dragon. And that film, of course, has inspired some controversy because the vocal cast, though it's all Asian, has only a handful of people from Southeast Asia. The star is a Vietnamese-American. It's mostly people from whose ancestry is Japanese or Chinese in particular, and some Korean. There has to be something that people are upset about, but Raya and the Last Dragon, I think, is one of those things that most people will thoroughly enjoy. Okay, coming up tomorrow, we have a report on the lost year. There's a guy named Alec McGillis who's going to be joining us, who covers politics and government for ProPublica. And he's going to be talking specifically about what the pandemic cost teenagers. And for teenagers, for young people, for all Americans, the situation at the border is a looming crisis. And President Biden's going to have to address it. Ruben Navarrete writes that generally there's no perfect plan. There's only terrible plans and maybe good enough plans. So what's a good enough plan? We will get to that and much more, plus reforming the American election system in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.